Pleasure to be with you today and have the opportunity to be your speaker. I appreciate that. And particularly pleased if you're a visitor and you've chosen to join us today, we want to make sure that you feel welcome, and we're most pleased that you're here with us. Genesis, the sixth chapter. The Bible says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the dark in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And then verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I should probably start attending a group called PA, Procrastinators Anonymous. I heard there was some discussion about starting that group, but they've not gotten around to it yet. When it comes to putting off stuff that requires work and commitment, I'm really good at it. That occurred to me as I was driving over here today finishing this lesson. That's why I like this image. It might be the only scenario in which I could imagine being like Jefferson. But there's a better one. And it's maybe more applicable for today. I love this cartoon because it reminds me of most days in college when I was taking a test. Well, that was today. So, if metaphors are not your thing, and it hasn't made the cycle yet, we know there's some important stuff that shouldn't be put off. Some decisions that we should make, some commitments that we should make today. The New Testament church is often called the Ark of Safety, a term that recalls the events of the Great Flood, and specifically the work that God did to save Noah and his family. The Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As a result of Noah's heart, his faith, God determined to save him from the flood that would destroy the earth. God chose an ark as a method by which Noah and his family would be saved. Today, the gospel, through which God uses a different mechanism by which men and women should be saved, the Church of Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, we see various types and shadows, symbols and situations that point to the coming Messiah, his message of faith and love, the sacrifice that he would offer as a ransom. We also see symbols related to the church and God's chosen plan of salvation for mankind. The salvation of a relative few from destruction. The destruction of the flood and the ark is a picture that would happen many years later in the church. The church would serve as an ark, a vehicle of salvation for a relative faithful few. Recently, I heard someone use that term, and it sort of brought back the notion of this story and its application. It's astonishing to me the number of similarities between the ark that God used to carry his faithful children to safety in ancient time and the ark that he uses today to safely deliver and bring home his faithful children. And the message of Jesus to his apostles and to us: don't miss the boat. Perhaps it's one of the things that happens when you get older. You develop a greater appreciation for things. You learn to better value the blessings that you have around you. An appreciation for their value. You value more the things that you should value. You take things a little less for granted. You also know how fragile life is, how much can go wrong. Remember the pandemic? As you get older, you witness more trials and tribulations that people endure, troubling situations that people get themselves into. Witnessing those things causes you to develop a greater appreciation for the church and the role that it plays in shielding us for eternity, protecting us, guiding us through life. God's protective providence. God's household, the church, is God's place of safety in an unsafe world. The world in Noah's time was wicked. It was growing more and more unsafe all of the time. We probably can't imagine the level of wickedness at that time. God needed a way to protect Noah and to carry him and his family to safety. God is just as concerned about our safety today. God's safety vehicle of choice was an ark. So let's consider some ways that there are some similarities. First of all, the world surrounded Noah and his family with sin. Genesis 6 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his heart, thoughts of his heart, was only evil continuously." Mankind was completely off course. The peace, the joy, the harmony that had been there in the garden had completely disappeared. Wickedness reigned. As Noah built this boat, it was surrounded by sin. Today, the church is also surrounded. Romans 3 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The ark was a refuge from sin. Today, the church serves the same purpose. Not that its inhabitants are perfect, far from it, but rather, through Jesus, there is a remedy. A remedy for sin and mistakes and mess-ups and forgets. That is a refuge. The church, like an ark, is surrounded by sin. And therefore, the church and its members are attacked from without, the waves against the boat. The ark, built by God's design, could withstand the waves and the weather. The church, when it is built on the rock of Jesus, can also withstand. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Great protection in the ark of safety. That is the body of Christ. Paul reminds us that he is persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Today's ark is surrounded by sin, and yet we are safe. So don't miss the boat. But also, the ark wasn't very popular in society. So Noah's building this ark to be saved from a great flood But recall that no one had ever seen it rain. The Bible also explains that great fountains of water would come from the earth to water the earth. The bottom line is, this big boat was not seen as something that was very necessary. It seemed like a waste of time and a waste of effort. It appeared to be the work of a man who was nuts, or at the very least, just pretty paranoid. I doubt Noah went to an office to work. But if he did, can you imagine the discussion in the hallway outside his cubicle? Have you guys heard about Noah? I think he's losing it. You seen that boat that he's building? It's nowhere near water. And what's even weirder, he says that God is going to flood the earth. And that's why he's building this boat. Can you believe that? Maybe we should, somebody ought to talk to him about the employee assistance program. Clearly he needs some counseling. Think about his family too. I mean, what a goofball. Yeah, well, nobody except Noah, a man of faith, understood and appreciated the threat. What about today? The church, the modern day ark, is more and more seen as irrelevant. Seen by very few as a place of safety. In Noah's day, nobody had seen it rain. Similarly, today, no one has seen the earth burned up. Most don't think it'll happen. Or perhaps they have no concern about it happening anytime soon. Most people feel like they aren't that bad anyway. They aren't really, sinners. And so, when Jesus does return, it'll be all right. And those who talk of a coming judgment are weird. Or they're negative people. And what is missed in the story is the fact that that end result is actually a hopeful one. Because it says that God cares about justice. He cares about people who are victims. Cares about people who are enduring hardship of their own making. He cares about fixing it and setting things right for the people who love him, because he loves everyone. Listen to Jesus. "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. And so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Should we act paranoid then, or frightened? Of course not. But the Apostle Paul and other preachers of the gospel did paint a picture of urgency, reminding us that we don't know when God's long-suffering will reach its limit. So, like Noah, we proclaim an urgent message of repentance that sometimes isn't very popular in the world. And the message? Don't miss the boat. But also, it was built by God's design. Genesis, the sixth chapter, says, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. and set the door of the ark in its side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Then he goes on to explain to Noah in very specific detail how the ark would be populated and other instructions. We find that God uses similar detail in directing the building of today's ark, the church. Jesus told his disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all of the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He also told his disciples that the kingdom would come with power, and that it is the Holy Spirit that would direct them in what to say and what to do. And we know that at Pentecost, Peter preached the first gospel sermon, resulting in obedience and the establishment of the church. The letters to the church serve today as a blueprint. But it was all by God's design. Noah didn't draw up the plans for the ark, and Peter didn't draw up the plans for the church. God was the architect. It was built by God's design. And since God designed the boat, don't miss the boat. But it's also a place of faith and obedience. Hebrews 11 reminds us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. After God delivers the instructions to Noah, the Bible says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Shortly after God established the church and began adding obedient souls to it, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread in prayers. Later, we see the church grow, and as it does, it encounters problems, disagreements, threats. And God uses the apostles to correct and teach and rebuke and train in the pattern that he desired. And through all of that instruction, faith and obedience are stressed. I've highlighted some of James' message as a reminder of some things that I think most of which were very familiar. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You believe that there is one God. You do well. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. For as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith and works. Faith and obedience. The two work hand in hand like two sides of the same coin. Faith without obedience, the Bible says, is really a dead faith. And works with no faith is a cold, lifeless, futile work with no hope and no destiny in sight. The original ark was a place of faith and obedience. The New Testament church, today's ark, is also a place of faith and obedience. We urge everyone to respond to the gospel in faith and obedience and not miss the boat. It's also a place of God's faithfulness and promise. Genesis 6 says, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." As God prepared a place of safety for Noah and his family, he did so as the result of a covenant, a promise. And we have a similar covenant relationship today with God, a better covenant. It was established after the death of Jesus on the cross. And the resultant place of safety of this covenant is the church. Genesis 7 tells us, "So those that entered, male and female, all of all flesh, went in as God commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." And then the floods came. God himself, after everyone who had been faithful and obedient was safely on board, sealed the ark to protect its inhabitants from the deadly rising water. God protected the faithful from destruction. For those who were obedient and entered the ark, God protected. For those that are obedient today, they enter God's ark, the church, and God protects spiritually. God himself was faithful in all that he promised. Genesis 8 says that God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. Later, God made a promise that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. One afternoon in Colorado, we looked out, and this was out the window. We saw a picture of this perfect rainbow, and I snapped a picture of it. The magnitude of that rainbow in the mountains sort of reminded me of the extent of God's faithfulness. We can rely on God. It's also a place of safety. The ark was a place of safety. God had flooded the earth, and the Bible says, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. We know that God won't flood the earth again. That's his promise. But we also know that there's a day coming in which we will need a place of safety. In 2 Thessalonians 1, the Bible promises that Jesus will indeed return, being revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Recall that we talked about Peter's message at Pentecost and that he urged his audience to repent, to be baptized for the remission of sins. That message is consistent with Paul's message to the Thessalonians. He refers to the testimony that people had believed concerning Jesus Christ. It's consistent also with his call to, quote, obey the gospel. The 3,000 souls that God added to the church right after its inception had obeyed that very same gospel. They were given a place in the ark of safety. That was 2,000 years ago. Today, the ark of Jesus Christ is just as safe. So don't miss the boat. Finally, it's a place of God's grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace because, as Hebrews 11 reminds us, he was divinely warned of things not yet seen and moved with godly fear. He was warned and acted. He believed and obeyed. God's pattern of belief and obedience was evident in the days of Noah, and it's still a reliable pattern. Not that our obedience earns our salvation. Paul makes that very clear. But rather, our obedience is response to this gift that we've been given. And we can set a pattern that the world desperately needs to see. That being obedient, responding to Jesus, and living a life out of obedience and enthusiasm for what is ahead is attractive. 1 Peter 3. Apologize for the small print on that one. Once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. It seems that God likes boats. He certainly appreciates water. Not only is water one of the absolute necessities of life, it's used consistently by the Father to make his points crystal clear. One of the important lessons of this life is the value of having God in the boat. Recall what happened to the disciples. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That day, the disciples learned that there was great power in having God in the boat. It was a relearning of a lesson that Noah had learned many years ago. The question for you, is it a lesson you've learned? Is God in the boat with you? Or better said, are you in God's boat? Noah's Ark carried a few people and a whole bunch of animals to safety on the earth. The Ark of Safety will carry you to eternal safety and eternal home. Allow me to briefly draw some other important analogies to consider. It was water of the flood that separated Noah from the disobedient nation that perished. It's the water of Christian baptism that separates between the saved today and the disobedient. Noah's coming forth from the waters to live again on the earth might fitly be called his being born of water. Just as the water separated Noah from the past and delivered him to a new existence, it's the water of baptism that separates the Christian from his past, and from which he, like Noah, arises to walk in newness of life. The same element is instrumental in the salvation of Noah that is in that of the Christian, namely water. It's water baptism as a covenant act of obedience to the commandment of Almighty God. It was water that washed away the filth of Noah's generation, and it is baptism that in a figure washes away the sins of men who are becoming followers of Christ. Only a few were saved through the flood. Christ has warned that a few shall be saved in relative terms in an eternal way, in Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And note that only those in the ark were saved, that similarly, those in Christ have the promise of eternal life. So, perhaps today you're here and you think, I'm not perfect. Noah wasn't perfect either. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Or maybe you say, and also, by the way, I believe in God. I believe that his son is Jesus. And then he died for me. And perhaps you're also thinking, something in my life is missing. Something isn't right. And you know some changes need to be made. Something needs to be different than it is today. Well, God understands that. If that is going on in your mind today, and that's where you are, I would urge you to come in faith. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Once the ark landed safely on dry land, it must have been quite a scene. I guess I'd like to have some video of Noah's family as they got off the big boat. The Bible tells us that the first thing they did was worship God. But I wonder if they also looked back at that big vessel and thought, that's a special boat. The church is a special boat. It's a place that's safe. It's full of hope. Not just about tomorrow, but eternity. The good news, your ship has come in. So don't miss the boat. Let's stand and sing.